that you kind of turn those palms up and lift those hands about half mast. Well, Paul made reference to addressing the thorn in the flesh, which was a messenger from Satan who had one mission, just one mission, this whole angelic devil, one mission, destroy Paul. Took him a while, but he finally found out. He says, now, I've gone beyond joy. Count it all joy when you fall into a test. I'm beyond it, he said. I take pleasure. I take pleasure in his presence. During persecution, afflictions, distresses, necessities, I take pleasure. And you know what that does? That activates grace where I'm my weakest. And when I'm my weakest, I become the strongest. Hallelujah. Because it switches my dependency off of the flesh onto the Spirit. And where I was worst, I get the strongest. And at the end of his life, he said, I'm ready to be offered. Nobody was taking it away from him. He said, I fought a good fight. I've ran a good race. I'm ready. Hallelujah, Jesus. So when you lift those hands, you know, half-mast, and you start worshiping God, that's when you're using the Word, but it bypasses your intellect because your emotions are tagging it, circulating your heart with it, and then giving it back. So it isn't I said I'm healed. It's I worship you and glorify and magnify and suspend my spirit in your presence to tell you that I'm healed. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. In God's immutability, which means he can't change, nor can he be changed. And what I love, the illustration of immutability, was the impossibility for him to lie. See, he can't. Well, he could just... No, you don't understand. He can't. Can't lie. He can't. He can't. So what did he say about your problem? You think you can overpower a supreme being that can't lie and says you're okay? And if that wasn't enough comfort, he said, oh, by the way, I'm your father. Come on. You've already won. Hallelujah. You've already won, so don't represent the other. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can you tell me what happened? Yeah, I can. Some of you turned loose of some stuff. And it didn't get on anybody else because it's under, you're standing on it now. It's under, it's under your feet. For the forsaking of yourselves, not forsaking, yes, yes, that's for the, yes. He gave the instruction for not forsaking to gather yourselves together, so. Because the Word, the strength, the move of the Spirit, all those things that was there to keep us built up and always ready for anything the devil or circumstances want to say or want to do. But what he went on to say is the truth of the matter is, see, that you can walk there yourself with those things under your feet. This is what I do to those who become most powerful in my presence. I'll send them against the oppositions where others have failed. So be strong and know that I have an agenda. I desire that no man be lost. So be strong, for I am your strength. And when I'm your strength, you can be strong. And understand this, I'm not the one holding back the equipping, the gifting, the anointings. When these are loose, I harvest. I'm not holding it back. People let those things destroy them. But in the teachings and the presences that are coming in this generation, you'll see many rise above the darkness, lay hold of what I have for them, and be victorious in this last day, great harvest. Boy, I'll take that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ooh, I think he said in there that we didn't have to ever carry that stuff. Ever. Hallelujah. Woo. Well, very gently you may be seated. See, you can say something between tongues. Yes, I can. I still have my mind. Do you know what you're saying at this point in tongues? No, I don't. For some of you have come looking for what you know what not. Some of you have come looking for what you know not. That you are looking for and desiring, earnestly coveting the ways that you can come to me. And there's a spirit present, not here now, but present in his operations against people, saying, it is getting too late. Nothing happened in the first part of this, and the time is getting too late, so what makes you think that you'll change and operate in heavier anointings and callings and fulfill things if it didn't happen in the first part? Don't discorado, shukriantio maskosi, dekoramaskisi. For whatever dispensation that you're going through, that I'm ministering under, that the enemy will come and discourage in different ways. Even if you're just beginning, he'll discourage to get you off the path and steal the word from you so you'll not accomplish more. If you accomplish a little more, then he's waiting there with another set of principles to try to stop you there. Even at great times of victory and great harvests, he's even convinced those who were harvesting that they were something that they was not. So hear what the Spirit would say. In this process of mortification, when you pray in the Spirit, don't you know the mysteries you're speaking is everything I am in you and to you and through you, the hope of glory? And know you not that when you get to the place of glorious harvest and power, that I will already have taken care of those things in you that needed to be put to death that you might finish your course? Hukasaramanda. Whew. I don't even know if I'm going to get to talk to you. It's okay, huh? How about the days when they didn't have any Bibles? And even if they did, most of them couldn't read. If you had one something written, you had to go get a scribe. If you wanted a copy from the synagogue, it'd cost you. Scribe would have to write it out. Then you'd have it. Then the point is, could you understand it then? When they came through preaching, establishing churches, who'd they have to depend on? The teachers who were taught. We couldn't check it. And we couldn't. And if they were blessed, they could have. An Old Testament book that had some of the promises in it of him to come from the local synagogue. And you can bring that to the church and quote verses and copy them out of it. But that'd be the best that they'd have. Thank God for the day they started writing their letters of instruction and correction and teaching to the different churches. Little we didn't, they'd end up in binding and sitting in our lap. And all of us with 66 books, even little black things with a plate, a window on the front, and you hit it a couple of times and a Bible comes out of it. So think, how could they run a service? The prophets would be standing by. If three of them had something to say, one would wait on the other and wait on the other, and he'd get up and say it. Why? Because prophets was a mainstay of word, even doctrine. They operated with, flowed, and taught by the apostles. Came into power ministering under them. But I always thought prophecy came like, oops, yeah! I wasn't in control of it. Oh, Brother Robus, that tongue you gave 8 minutes ago? Yeah? Would you interpret it now? Uh-oh. So the prophet's there, and they say, let the prophet speak one at a time, but if the second has something, let the first hold his peace, or let him hold his peace till the first has spoke. What do you think they were established? And they weren't going, yeah, thus saith the Lord. But prophecies and mysteries that had been revealed to them, as they traveled from church to church, they was the teachers and part of the teachers and the pastors. And they all learned together till they'd get another letter and more light would come. Thank God they survived. Hallelujah, Jesus. In 442 after the cross, the bubonic plague took out, say, 100 million people. After that time, the Roman Empire, there had been one of those sensationalism signs like a gigantic cross in the sky. So don't think it was him, but it was his son and maybe his son who claimed to be then taking the position of emperor as a Christian. Well, this is what they did. They would go over to a neighboring culture, ask them, what God do you serve? If they wasn't a Christian, they'd either else convert or they would send them home to their God. They murdered them on the spot, thousands and thousands. That was done in the name of Christianity. So when he said that, not all that say, Jesus, Jesus, you know, not all that. I bet, didn't I cast devils out in your name? Didn't I? Uh-huh. And you sent millions to hell in my name too. So to count how blessed extremely that we are to have 66 books that from the champions of the faith that got it directly from God, that we can sit down and we have a teacher he's entrusted us with. It isn't an angel, because we're family. We got a trusted family member for our teaching, the Holy Spirit. And he's come to do what? Guide us into all truth. Remember when we was talking about this about 8 years ago? We got a good memory, don't we? He's come to guide us. He won't even push you. I don't want to go. Then stay. He's come to guide us into all truth. So he had to have a way. He directly, on purpose, met up with you to do what was necessary for your next step would be on the sovereign path to the cross that brought the miracle and the salvation and the power. So the path is as sovereign, final as the cross itself. Why wouldn't it be that we can get on it and go to the same place every time? Why couldn't we? What is this, some kind of haphazard hit and miss faith? No. So who did he trust us with? A trusted family member of the Godhead to be our teacher. The Holy Spirit. Did you take yourself this direction? No, I didn't. Nor will I fight it. Now let's just think about, we position the Godhead, you know. Oh, I like to do it this way. Get up here, God. You're the Holy Spirit. So, get up here. You're Alpha. Only one that can tell the Holy Spirit what to do. You'd make a good son. You're obedient and you like government. Get in the middle of them. One day they said, oh, let's create man in our image. Okay. They created the world and everything. And then pretty soon, here's Adam. Hi. You guys really need to comb your hair, you know. What does he do? He creates Adam. Then time goes by. The world gets messed up. It's drowned. The boat lands. They kill some animals and start over. Presents messed up again. Language is scrambled at the Tower of Babel. It's spread over the earth, and now you just can't run and tell the villagers next door, hey, get ready. They say, what? They don't know what you're talking about. Slowed things down a little. So God is saying, oh, we're going to have to, I guess we're just going to have to, you know, die for them. And so he died for them, and I died with him because he died in my place. He suffered for my sins so I could go free. And they're real happy. He goes back to heaven. And they're real happy because now they think, because they're born again, they'll do anything. So they're saying, get people saved. What? What? Get them saved? What do you want me to do? Get them saved. Do you guys want to go through a lot of tests and trials and stuff and that? We have just the religion. I was lost. I was an old sinner. You need to get saved.
Can we have fun and drink and party anymore?
No. Can't even wear earrings. He's like, what? It's not so much about the outer man. It's okay. And trying. Nobody will do nothing. Just look at each other and won't do nothing. Till finally, the Holy Spirit says, okay. Guess I'm going to have to go down and be the power in their life so they can get by. So here he comes. I'm the brave one. He's yellow. Here he is. And he's walking with me and I'm baptized in the power and I'm full of power. I'm full of power. Hey, if if God heals your grandma, you know, the real rich one, could you give me a couple of million? Oh. Ah, la, la, la. La, la. I wonder what the word says. I might read it sometime. Well, anyway. La, 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 la. La, la, la. What? Both you guys are married? And those your wives married each other, and then you guys bit. Is that okay? You're not sure? Me either. Oh, what kind of religion is that? So finally, the Godhead gets together and goes, he's just teaching crazy. I mean, how are we going to fix this guy? And finally, the fucking, you know, Alpha says, I guess we're going to have to do their praying for them. One member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, will be creating the prayer according to all their call to be and do, which I had planned for them, said Alpha. So I'll do their praying for them. So I'll pray into their life and pray them out of their temptations and strongholds and into the anointings of their giftings. All we have to do is just to get them to, you know, we'll form the words even. We'll speak the words hour after hour as long as they want. Do you think we can get them to just open their mouth? Just open it! So cool. Say it. You think we can just get them to pray? Then one member of the Godhead will be creating the prayer in concordance with their life, their call, their harvest. They'll be doing all the praying and formulating the prayer. Then the other member of the Godhead will be answering it. Do you think we can get them to do that? So one member of the Godhead is formulating the prayer. The prayer comes to existence in your spirit. The authority changes from him to you. It's now you praying, him using your authority, and goes back to the Father, Alpha. And Alpha answers the prayer. Now, the early church had this. Paul recorded it. But now, we have the instructions he gave them when they didn't have instruction. We have it ahead of time. We have what they all said about it. We have what Jesus said about it. We can look at it 1,000 times. Failure is not necessary.
Well, there's something stopping me.
That you're not going to pray in tongues very long. That something will be stopped instead of you. Of course, Sandora and Delesia, Hekora Tancha, think of it. Adam had a death nature, and I got some things to say about that this week. I got some more things to say. I just can't say them today. He's got his own agenda. And not that ours isn't his when it's him. When he said you can't serve God at mammon, you put money up there as a absolute worthy foe that set itself against God. You can't serve God and mammon. So the worthy foe can take your serving away from God and spend it in mammon. So we're up against a very, very worthy. I've seen even preachers bring God under the ascendancy of their reign with mammon. Like he's their servant or something. The mammon he was making reference to in particular in the verses I'm reading in my mind out of Luke is the reason he's willing to give an unlimited mammon. Is if your heart is really not only for the lost, but in motion continually for them. And so I said, oh Lord, most all preachers I know, when it hit astronomical numbers, they got beat to pieces. Can you tell me what it is that got them past it? What'll get me past it? Give $5 billion to win the lost little guy and be happy to walk away with a quarter in my pocket. What can make me like that? Found out. Love of God. It's not the one I exercised myself into. Like, let me see, I'm a Christian. She was just ugly to me. Okay, it's my job to be nice back, so let me think. Yeah. Okay, God. Well, it's okay. Ooh. God, she only knew. God, look, we're supposed to forgive them, but that's how most of us do it. We go through the emotions because you're supposed to. Do you know how much the book changes when you do it because it's what you are? There's a certain place in ministry where the love of God takes on its own anointing. I finally had to recognize that tangible presence as compassion. It's powerful as a sledgehammer. And when she's flowing, she can go in there and destroy roots like you'd never imagine. There's no root that money can put deep enough that the love of God can't cultivate that garden. Talking about the anointing, and this is what God showed me. I was at a Benny Hinn meeting, and so many people were healed in their bodies, physical. And it was over, people were leaving, and I was looking around, and they were standing over against the walls and stuff. And all of a sudden, I saw that anointing that He's trying to introduce me to, the love of God. And the tangible aspects of it, because this was such healing on the physical, man. It was so good. So many got healed. But He made me know that it was something different. So watch. And so then He told me those words. He says, this anointing heals the man that stays home, not the front man He sent to church that appears to be something that he's not. I said, you mean that's why the gifts of healings is plural. I said, you mean there's really an anointing that can put you back together? Yes, sir. I've discovered that it's the worthy foe I was looking for also. So counting these meetings, the next ones we have, don't you dare miss them. Don't you dare. Boy, it's the first time that God ever stood at attention until I got done. For it's a hard concept, not easily understood, not where turmoil and unrest prevails. that my love truly, truly casts out all fear. And truly, truly, it never fails. For if you have no fear, then you'll not fail. Who are you looking for? The devil? What do you think? For inside you've been hoping and saying, I thought I'd be free this year, but I'm not. But yet you've been able to hold your hope up there fairly high and only get discouraged when the problem becomes stronger and stronger as the year goes by. That you said, I know that I'll be different this time. But yet, the final victory still hangs on to you concerning this thing that I'm speaking of. Mokadasi. Turepianasuashi. Okolemehefidabakina. I know. He said, this has to be... this has to be totally up to you. But his victory is standing here waiting. It's totally up to you. And God's not about putting you on public display for knowing what it is or anything about that. He's just about you getting free. Hallelujah. So if I describe the dilemma close enough, in particular, that you thought you'd be free by now. So, if that's you, okay, not if, that's you, come. Yes, sir. You know when he loved you? When Adam was standing there with a bewildered look on his face and God was saying, I'm between the lines now. What, Adam, didn't you believe me? I can't lie. Muslims ask me often, why didn't God just forgive him? Just forgive and let it go. I'll tell you why. He said, well, didn't you understand, Adam? I would say, my God, man, but I'm him. I can't lie. See, I can't lie. You die. I can't change. So what did he do at that moment? Before he even judged Adam and Eve about sweat of the brow, childbearing, he turned around to Satan and judged him. When he did, he looked 4,000 years into the future. He said, born a woman, there'll be a seed that'll bruise your head. That's death, boy. You'll just affect his walk a little bit. You'll bruise his heel. He prophesied his own son's death. Prophesied his own son's death in the place of Adam so Adam could live. He couldn't even clothe him before that. But when he went over and got the beast and dropped that first drop of blood, that was Jesus' blood, and it loosed him to charge everything to the cross to be paid in full at the resurrection. And he was standing over Adam. You don't think he looked down? And the same price he paid for one man, which was Adam, he paid for all. He looked down and saw you standing there. Thousands, millennial after millennial, of tedious sacrifices and everything having to be just right and offered this way and offered that way. And you can't eat this and you can eat that. Tedious needle threading for thousands of years just so you could stand here free and been born again. But what he had to do because he couldn't lie. Amen. Tell me he'll give you the word and not do it. Heaven and earth will pass. My word will abide forever. 18 billion years from now, he's not going to go on a rampage and kill you. Because he can't. What did he give you to use? He even called him. I said, second member. You are the word, you know. You go tell them what they can use. He said, in my name, he told me something would happen. Well, I don't approach him with the list anymore. I know why he'll answer my prayer. I know very well why. Well, how many will pray for me? Because I'm exploring ground I've not been on before, really. And Mammon and my father and love. And the love part includes all the forgiveness you're supposed to render. He spelled that out. You know you won't be blessed when you hurt somebody with your heart. He loved Adam before he was lost. And he did everything he did in the world after to get him back. Just because they're a sinner doesn't mean he doesn't love them. He loves them with that love. He'll pay you. I mean, if you to go in there and harvest those people, you'd have a open account. You remember when he says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, heaped down, pressed together," Luke 6:38, and we found out that ultimately what that meant. It meant everything the sinner cost you by taking your goods, slapping you in the face, stealing your stuff, and you just kept giving it to them and turning the other cheek and doing good to the hate and the despite they were doing to you. Then he says, "Giving it shall be given unto you, heaped down." And who he was talking to was whatever it cost you to hold the blood of Jesus up to that sinner, no matter what he did to you. Took your money, slapped you in the face, used you. You just keep holding the blood up. He loves you, sir. Whatever that guy cost you is what he's heaping down, pressing together, running over. And he'll give it back to you. He said, he'll cause people. He said, people will do it. It's on the level you live on. People will come and pay you back. Why? Because God's paying you because he loves that guy. Let's change the role. You're the guy that's ugly. Slapping them, stealing their stuff, treating them like a dog. And here God is paying them. Picking the bill up for you to be saved. When I break this open, we're going to take the. We're going to pull the stops out. We're going to break this thing open. Before even to take these steps, we had to stop hurting people. People fight all the time about us because we say, no, sir, tithing's under the law. And they get mad. Mostly preachers, because that's their income. That's their only hope. You know why they were under the law? Under the law? Because of their nature. If they didn't force them, if there wasn't penalty, they wouldn't give. You're not under law. This is your best bet. You give because you love Him. You're not under law. You're not going to be punished. To insert that law now, well, you're going to be cursed if you don't give. If that's why you're giving, you probably will be anyway. You're that fearful? That afraid? I'm not under law. I'm His son. I'm free. And me and Him, we have a lot of lost brothers and sisters. We're going to go get them. And He's not cheap.